How do you honor God? By doing everything to the glory of God. Not just not sinning, not just, okay, you don't steal from people, but by making good shoes.
If we're going to talk about you were a new creation, that means everything has to change.
Why does God not just, you know, bring people to heaven immediately after being saved? It's because there's stuff to do here. There's a point to all of this. And if we're Christians, we do it better, or at least in theory.
But if we really apply the standard that's set in Scripture, then we know that no one is good because no one is God.
We serve a storyteller. We serve a God who has a perfect plan, a sovereign will for every moment of history.
It's not about going into the world to make artists. It's about going into the world to make disciples.
This is The Christian Artist, honoring Christ through creativity. My name is Caleb.
My name is Connor.
My name is Carly.
My name is Brian.
Yeah, we have Carly's dad on to pop a pinch, as we like to call him, on today's episode. And the reason for that is because we're going to be talking about, as we're going through this series on the Christian household, we did kind of like gender roles and marriage. We talked about the government, and now we're going to talk about finances and budgeting, saving, debt, all that stuff. And Papa Pinch is a big Dave Ramsey guy, so I thought I'd ask if he'd come on and talk to us about finances and whatnot. But yeah, thanks for coming on, Brian. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Cool. So the overarching focus of all these episodes, right, has been Christian household. So talking about the husband, wife, and children, and how, what does that look like? Not only just in like the roles of those individuals in the household, but mainly like what is the biblical function of a Christian household in society, in terms of how we interact with yeah, like the government and the church and everything else. But yeah, today I kind of wanted to talk about finances and resources, like treating those things with wisdom and godliness. So I guess maybe to start off with, what are, in your experience and your, you know, study in scripture and stuff, what are the like main kind of basic takeaway points if we're thinking about this, trying to think about this from a Christian perspective? What does God call us to in regards to finances and resources? We can get into scripture references or whatever else we want to from there. But I'm curious if you have like first, like surface level thoughts on that.
Well, I think the root, I mean, really, it goes through everything, but money is one of those things that needs to be dealt with as a heart issue, first. You know, it's just like anything else that you really look at, it's a heart issue. If you were going to look at money from a, when I say a heart issue, let me back up a little bit. You know, it's how you're treating it. If you're trying to grab a hold of everything you've got and hoard it, you know, that's not healthy. That's not a good thing to do. You know, in terms of managing, it's just a resource, mm-hmm. and we really need to just look at it that way. It's a resource. It's not the all and end all of, you know, what we're doing, whether it be vocation or savings or anything. It's just simply a resource, and it's a matter of how you're handling it, and it gets to the heart of it in terms of whether you're doing it properly or not. And that, you know, I mean, you look at that with sin, we can look at that with all kinds of stuff. It's just a function of, you know, if your heart's in the right place, you're gonna, number one, be a step ahead of everybody else. So
yeah, I think one
thing, but the other part of it, especially, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say one thing I think that's important for that is a lot of times, at least some Christians in our day and age, sometimes can get the wrong idea about money being a kind of neutral category, right? So, you know, they look at a verse like, you know, 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And they're like, oh no, we should just get rid of all of our money, right? Like just, you know, being rich is bad. We should just, you know, try to have as little money as possible. But that's not what the verse is saying. It's not saying for money is evil, right? Saying for the love of money.
Yeah, exactly. It's the love of money, which again is the heart issue.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, the other part of it is, you know, I think when you look at your big picture of what your kind of your overall theme is in these last several episodes, is, you know, as a family, money has to be something that is, as a husband and wife, is dealt with together.
Yeah.
Even if that is a delegation issue, you know, in our household, I hate writing checks. I hate paying the bills and doing that kind of stuff. That's Kathy's thing, and she does a very good job of it. She doesn't do it the way I would do it, but you know what? I don't want to do it, so I'm going to let her do it in her way. But, you know, and there's people that will look at that. You know, when you look at the, you know, the chapter in Ephesians, it says, you know, that husband is the head of the household. And some people will look at that and say, well, then he needs to be dictating what's going on with the money. And, you know, it's like, I don't think so. You know, if delegation is how you want to do it, because, I mean, one of the things you learn when you go through the Dave Ramsey process is that, you know, you've got different mindsets and different ways you're going to look at things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to have that partnership and that pairing is important, not only as a balance so that you're not, you know, having the miser control all the money and life is really boring because nobody, you know, you got a pile of money, but nobody can use it. and the flip side of that is the fact that, you know, we're supposed to work together and be husband and wife and in that you need to be on the same page and moving in the same direction. So, I mean, one of the early things that Kathy and I did, and we learned it the hard way, but, you know, we came up with, when we put a budget together, you know, when we came up with a number that if there was going to be anything that we were going to spend money on, whether it be individually or together, over a certain amount of money, we had to talk about it before we bought it. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, we kind of learned that the hard way because I went out and bought a gun and it was way out of the number that we ended up agreeing on. So yeah. Anyway, but since we've done that, I mean, it makes things go a lot smoother because you're on the same page and you're working together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, for Carly and I, she's doing most of like the groceries and all the like kind of day-to-day stuff that we're doing. And I am typically the one doing all the online stuff. Just cause it, you know, kind of worked out that way that's what kind of fell easiest to us, for that sort of thing. But yeah, I think it's good to point out that, this is a group effort, right? That is, as you were mentioning, that's kind of like the focus of what we're talking about here is as a household, you know, the way, and this is why I wanted to have you on is to talk about like, if we're called to, as a household, be wise with our resources, what does that look like? How can we honor God, and do something good with those things, right? Be able to, I mean, part of the Dave Ramsey stuff is he focuses on giving a whole bunch of money, right? But even beyond that, even beyond just like normal Christian generosity, also just building something, right, in a Christian household, using your resources wisely so that you can make it better, that you can not just be stuck in the same place throughout the entire history of the household, so on and so forth.
Well, I think you got to look at it too. I mean, you know, you're already starting there with Finn. It's not just your household.
Yep.
You know,
yeah, we have a responsibility to make it better for them. Yeah.
Well, I guess I don't look at it that way. I mean, in the sense of, I don't think making it better is probably the way to put it. I think teaching the responsibility teaching the skills.
Yeah.
So that you can move forward.
Sure.
You know, the next generation can move forward in a positive manner with the right skills and the right equipment behind you to be successful. So, you know, I think there's a lot of examples in the world that you look at that, you know, kids have been given millions of dollars and
and they don't know how to use it. Yeah.
They don't know how to use it. They're just being stupid with it. And they got so much of it. They don't know, you know, they just keep going. But,
for sure. Yeah. I think that's definitely, I think the two sides of the kind of, angle that I want to take here is it's not only, I think, even though I think there is an aspect of this where it's, you know, the scriptures constantly, talk up the goodness and the blessing it is to be given an inheritance by your parents, right? So there is an aspect of being wise with your resources so you have something to pass on to your children. But then there's, of course, yes, then the other important aspect, which is if you're giving them this inheritance of, you know, not just resources, but also all this other stuff you're giving them, how are they going to use it? Like, are you teaching them the ability and the skills they need to be able to use it better than you did?
No, I think to me, I mean, it's the skills and the knowledge of what to look for and that kind of thing that is more important than the dollar of relative to the inheritance. But yeah, I mean, we're called to take care of our families and I'm just looking for it right now. It's I forget if it's in First or Second Timothy. I think it's in First. About, you know, the fact that if we don't take care of our own families, we're worse than a sinner.
Yeah, yeah.
Than the unbeliever.
The unbeliever. Yep.
And so, you know, I think to answer your first real big question, I mean, as Christian households, I mean, what are we supposed to do? I think we're supposed to be a light.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to be different. Yeah. And to me, I mean, I think the first difference as it relates to money is tithe. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are so many Christians that do not tithe. It's unbelievable. And they call themselves Christians, but they don't tithe. Mm-hmm. And, the one thing God calls us out on and says, test me in this. Mm. And it's like, why would you not do that? You know? So tithing, I think is a great thing to look at in terms of making sure that not only you're doing it and you're doing it correctly, but that you're teaching your kids, this is why you tithe, and this is the heart behind the tithe, and the habit and the not out of tradition or religiosity that you do it, but you're doing it because it's His to begin with. And, you know, you're just doing what He asks you to do and being obedient. Mm-hmm. So,
It definitely doesn't seem like if you want to be blessed in life, it doesn't seem like a good place to start is not giving to the Lord, right? Probably not a good place to begin if that's what you want.
Right. Yeah.
Cool. So, if we're talking about like more practical stuff, then, give us your pitch, right? For the kind of general Dave Ramsey stuff. What are the things that we should be doing, in terms of probably budgeting and saving first off, you know, to be doing this correctly, to be putting principles into place, so that we can be wise and generous with the resources.
Well, I mean, you know, budget first and foremost is, you know, you got to account for every dollar.
Yep.
And as such, you know where your money's going and it doesn't just blow out the window, you know, because you're not keeping track of it. And that's exactly what happens to most people that don't budget. So, you know, sitting down and putting a practical budget together. And again, as a team, putting the budget together so that, you know, somebody's, not just one person is dictating what's going on, because A, you don't have both people on board with the budget if that happens. And then the other thing is that if you have one person controlling all of the funds, then you know, how does out of the other member of the household get anything done? So you know, budgeting is important. You know, and part of that is just basic planning, really, when you stop and think about it. You know, I mean, you know, the Bible talks about, there's a proverb about, you know, got a note on it, where to go, about, you know, counting the costs before you build. You know, you can't build a house if you don't know what that house is going to cost you. Same thing with just running your daily life. I mean, in your, you know, your monthly budget is basically doing the same thing. So, so as far as that goes, that's, you know, number one. I mean, as far as the savings and stuff, I mean, we're called to save up, you know, be prepared for, you know, taking care of the church is a great example. I mean, you know, I mean, we just talk about tithing, but, you know, I mean, it talks about in 1 Corinthians, it also talks about, you know, taking up a collection and then being ready so that when missionaries come through or somebody calls the church to do something, the church can do that.
Yeah.
So if we haven't done that as members of that church, how's the church going to do it? So, you know, Dave Ramsey is a big one on giving, you know, well, you can't give away if you don't have it.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got to have these steps in place beforehand to be able to get to that back end stuff where it's, you know, it is nice. I mean, I've been in a position where I've been able to do that in the past where, you know, you can help somebody out because you got the means and they don't. You know, it feels good.
This past Sunday, our pastor at our church here in Moscow, Pastor Toby, he was giving a message on hospitality, and a lot of the stuff that he was talking about kind of goes right into that point. You know, the general idea of being Christians who, it's not that you're giving what you don't have, right? God isn't calling you to like go beyond your means to try to do all of these things. You know, you have to constantly be in debt because you have to make sure you're helping literally everyone you possibly can. But the point that Toby made was, we're giving from our overflow, right? Like you make sure you have your priority straight first, right? You're budgeting, you're saving, you're taking care of your family. And then if you're doing that correctly, that means there's going to be something left over. There's going to be, if you're organizing it all correctly, there's going to be overflow. And that overflow is supposed to go to other people, right? Because, hey, you have extra. Now you can give to other people. And do so in a way that's not going to be a burden on your family, right? Because another thing he pointed out in that sermon was a lot of times, like missionary kids or pastors' kids, there's a reputation there where they kind of like, you know, leave the church because their dad never paid attention to them, never, you know, had time for them because he's always doing all this ministry stuff. And there's that reputation exists for a reason, and that's because sometimes people in ministry, and this can apply to anyone who's doing any form of ministry, not just like pastors or missionaries, can do that at the expense of the people closest to them. And that's what we want not to do. We want to be able to focus on them first because they're the ones right in front of us. They're the ones we're specifically called to take care of. And then from that, from whatever's left over from that, then you give from there, because you don't want, I think the thing that Pastor Toby said was, we want to help the orphans and widows, but not in a way that's going to make new orphans and widows. And I thought that was a pretty concise way of putting that thought there too.
Yeah, that's good.
And we're the reason that we're specifically commanded to care for our family is because we're commanded to do that by name, in a sense, right? Care for your wife, care for your children. Like I can put names to those things. Whereas care for like people who are in the brotherhood, you can put names to those things as well, but it's in a way more general sense.
Yeah.
And obviously there are tiers to responsibilities and that type of thing as well. But you can do good to the people, like the verse in Galatians chapter 6, right? Like do good to everyone, but especially those of the household of faith. Like not this only is there priority a tier, to that, tier. But,
yeah.
Well, but not only that, but do good to everyone is much less broad and unspecific as love your wife.
Right. Right.
Yeah. The mile wide and inch deep versus.
Yes, you don't want to try to. Yeah, you don't want to try to help everyone because then you won't be able to help everyone. You want to go in deep and then in the overflow, kind of have it spill over tier at a time down the ranks there.
Well, I mean, use that term overflow. I mean, you got a river. Okay, a river's deep in the channel, and when you have an overflow, it's shallower and it's out on the edges.
Yeah.
And that's really,
yeah.
I mean, it's the same concept is that, you know, your family should be in the middle of the river. Yeah. Your relationship with God should be in the middle of the river and the deep stuff. And then, you know, the further away from that you get, the shallower it's going to get, but you're still going to have water overspilling the banks.
Sure. Yep. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm trying to remember where we, how we went off on that particular topic. I guess just like saving it.
Well, I mean, it's related, but
Do you have any thoughts on the debt then? Like the opposite side of that, right? Like what's the stuff that we should be looking out for specifically, like warning signs and pitfalls and other things like that?
Well, I mean, you know, the big thing with debt is the fact that, you know, you're going beyond your means, really.
Sure.
And you haven't saved up. And so, you know, there are times when I'm not going to say there's times when it's a necessity, but there's times that that's the position that we've got ourselves in, and that's the only option for us sometimes, mm-hmm. but that's not necessarily because we planned well. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So to that end, you know, I'm not going to say that, you know, if you've got debt, you're a sinner. That's not the case. I mean, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, there are times when it makes sense, you know, a home purchase is not typically something you're just going to save up and go out and buy a house, especially in today's market.
Yeah.
I mean, what's going on, you know? Now, you know, there's the rare occasion that, you know, Dave Ramsey's got his examples where people have done that and, you know, squirreled money away and been able to buy their first house with cash, and that's great. But, you know, with especially the last 2 years, what's happened with the real estate market, you know, that I just shake my head and you know, at the position you guys are in right now, I mean, how young families get started with home ownership today, it just blows my mind, because the only option you've got is get leverage to the hilt. So, but, you know, from cars is a good example. I mean, you know, you don't have to have a car payment. Mm-hmm. You know, you can work with, you know, a $3,000 or $4,000 car, and you know, it helps if you have some mechanical skills, because that saves you money and keeping the thing running. But
or at least a friend who has mechanical skills.
So anyway, to that end, I mean, debt is one of the things that oftentimes people find themselves in and have to dig to get out. And that's a hard road to hoe. So to that end, I mean, if you can avoid debt, obviously do it. You know, the Bible does say, you know, that the borrower is the slave to the lender. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you are going to be making a commitment that you have to honor, to get back to your, you know, how do we behave? You know, if we do get into a debt situation, we've got to honor. I mean, we can't just bail on it. And so
but can we just get Biden to cancel all of our student debt?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's that. Where does it say it in the Bible? That's what you should be doing.
Yeah. You go to the king to, right? Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So.
Yep.
So, so debt is something that, that people struggle with. And the funny thing is that, and I forget the exact percentage now, but if you look at the number of millionaire lottery winners and how many of them are bankrupt within 7 years of winning the lottery.
Yep.
Okay. Your level of income has nothing to do with debt. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Debt is all about what you spend,
yeah,
not what you earn. Mm-hmm. So that's something that people have to wrap their head around. And again, that gets you back to the beginning, which is set that budget so that you know what you can spend money on and what you can't spend money on.
Yep.
So,
yeah, and obviously a lot of the like details on these things, you can go check out Dave Ramsey if you haven't already. There's a lot more details on like how to go about doing all these things. I know one of the things that was really helpful for me, starting to learn more about Dave Ramsey stuff was the debt snowball stuff. Very helpful, just thinking through like a practical and like specific way to tackle large amounts of debt and just trying to chip away at it and get clear of it as quickly as possible. I thought that was really helpful. Just a kind of as a psychological thing. It just feels really good.
It's kind of fun, really.
Yeah.
When you
yep.
If you approach it the right way, anyway. But yeah.
Yep.
No, I agree. I mean, it's and I don't know that we necessarily need to go through all the data.
No, and that's what I said. We don't need to go into all the details now. Those are out there though, if you want to find them specifically.
Right. Yeah. Yep. But yeah, getting out of debt, obviously, if you're in debt, that's the first thing you need to tackle.
Yeah.
And then, you know, do that by setting a budget and moving forward. So, all right. What else do you want to talk about?
Yeah. The other thing on my list here is in general, like wise stewardship of your resources and making good investments, like the sort of things that go beyond. Let's say someone has gotten out of debt, they are budgeting correctly, they have savings. What do I do with this now, right? Like what would be the next step to take? And I know Ramsey talks about stuff like this kind of in that order, right? Like those, you have to get those priorities straight first, and then you can start using your money to do, you know, bigger things than just, you know, kind of having it sit there.
Right. Well, and the big thing, and this is where I mean Kathy and I are kind of at right now, is that you've got to get to a point where, or you should be getting to, I shouldn't say you got to, but if you can get yourself out of debt, and you're making money, so you've got your income, you need to be squirreling away. And this is where major savings comes in. So there's a step from the baby step of get your $1,000 emergency fund in place with Dave Ramsey. And then there's to start really squirreling your money away, whether it be to pay off your mortgage, so you're totally debt free without a mortgage payment in addition to any other debt, or if you're in a situation where you are debt free, you're actually building that wealth pile. And it's, again, it's not a, oh, I've got this huge sum of money, and look at me. It's that you need to plan for a rainy day, which in our case, I mean, we're not retired, but we want to get there. Mm-hmm. And we're way behind the eight ball in terms of getting retirement funds put aside so that when we do decide to retire, we've got enough to get by and not live off the government. And quite frankly, I don't think, you know, by the time I get there, I keep telling my financial guy, by the time I get there, I don't think Social Security will exist. So it doesn't really matter what the government's doing, you know? So, so anyway, to that end, you know, you've also got, as part of that, what the Bible calls us to do, you know, is we should be taking care of our kids and our grandkids,
you know,
and storing up for them as well. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with that, You know, that's a big part of, I think, what our responsibility is as Christians, yeah, is to, you know, not rely on the government and not rely on, you know, crazy risky things that, you know, from a investment standpoint, if you want to use that term.
Yeah, I think it's definitely
to bank on.
Yeah, it's definitely against the grain, I think, in our current culture to have an inheritance for your kids, to like save up money for them. Because, I mean, you constantly see these like older folks. They're like, all right, cool. Well, we're retired. We have all this money and we're just going to move to Florida and then spend it all. Right. Just get so that there's literally nothing left for our kids.
There's bumper stickers on cars. You know, we're spending our kids' inheritance. Uh-huh.
Very antithetical to what scripture is saying. Exactly. Yeah. Very antithetical to what scripture says we should be doing. Right. As I mentioned earlier, right, inheritance is a blessing to our children. And also there's the aspect of, kind of in reverse of that too, right? If we're thinking about like a holistic, like Christian household being wise with their money so that they can take care of their family, there's also the opposite end of the spectrum, which is, kids being financially secure so that they can take care of their parents. Right. If they get old and can't take care of themselves, that's another thing that the scripture really calls us to, is for kids to honor their parents in that way and take care of them in their old age. And you can't do that.
Right. Jesus specifically tells the Pharisees, you can't tell people that if you give a certain amount of money to the church, that you have to take care of your parents anymore in their old age.
Yeah.
That's not how that works.
Yeah. There was a specific thing in the first century where, the rabbis were saying, if you just give this amount of money to the church, then you're off the hook taking care of your parents. There's just this religious thing that you can do, and you don't have to take care of your parents anymore. You can just do whatever you want with your money after that point. And Jesus, called out the Pharisees on this and said, that's wicked. Like, you can't just, you know, give this tithe and then suddenly you don't have to honor the fourth or the fifth commandment anymore. Like, it's a commandment of God for a reason. So,
yeah.
Well, and I think that doesn't necessarily have to be money either. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there are some cases in which children who have the money means just kind of throw money at the problem of like
put their parents
someone in their old age. Yeah. Needing help and needing assistance. And Mickey and I talk all the time about like when there she is. Older people like talk about, oh yeah, you know, because at some point we're going to need to go to a home or whatever. And we just are like, oh, that's so sad that like that's your option. And you're just like, you're kind of resigned to that fate. And we think that that's always so sad to hear that like they don't have, you know, children or that have a house that they could come like stay with them if they forget what their name is, or you know, they need physical help, all those things. And it's one of the, I think, most precious things also, when a parent gets too old to be able to take care of themselves in that way, that the children take them into their home. And I think that's one of the most precious and sweetest things that even like pagans look at and think, that's so good. Like, that's so righteous. But I think even just, I mean, I don't quite know where like the Christian culture is on that necessarily, but just interesting that most people in general just kind of see when you get old, you get sent to a home, and not that that's wrong in all circumstances, but it just seems rather sad that that's where we are in our culture.
There are even been like, an older couple that we've like talked to, that are Christians and have raised multiple Christian children. And they talk about like now looking and like figuring out like in the area the best one to like go to. And I'm like, like, I like, these are such sweet older people. And it's like, I would take you in. Like, it's so sad to me. Like, just the, like, it's like, is there not like an open conversation that like you're able to have? Like, do, when you get older, do you just feel like a burden? And so you just like slink off into the corner to die? Like, cause like, I would hope that, like, you know, that like my parents or like Mike and Christy would be like Connor's parents, for those listeners that don't know, would like, you know, talk to us when health is declining and like they need help with like cares or going to the grocery store or like doing,
you can't drive safely anymore.
Yeah. Like going to appointments or those kind of things before you like hire services. I don't know. That just seems so interesting.
Yeah. We have a disconnect in our society. And I think a lot of it has to do with we have more separation in the household, in the extended household, than most cultures in history have, right? Yeah. Like most cultures in history have had like three generations all living under one roof constantly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that's just the normal. And it's not like necessarily wrong to not all be under the same roof. It's just that there's a mindset difference that we have to keep in mind when we're thinking about these things. Sometimes we can, just the way we're raised, we just don't think about it. We're just like, oh, that's not on my radar, but Bible says this is what you should do. Like, you should be taking care of your kids, and you should be taking care of your parents, like in those different stages of life. Those are important things that you need to be doing. So,
and talking about the like financial aspect of it too, it's so expensive for in-home care, going to a home, like paying somebody to come watch your mom or dad for 2 hours a day or help them with the laundry or whatever. And so like, not only to be economical for them, like most people, most older people really do drain their life savings when they have to go to like a home, and then they pay what they can, and then the state pays for the rest of it. And like, they just deplete everything so that they, you know, have some.
Yeah. It's just, it's just a generally sad state of affairs all around.
So.
But, you know, to that end, though, too, that's why you don't see a lot of inheritance anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
Or then if somebody does go and live, then the, you know, I've heard of siblings then that are fighting over the inheritance that's left, even though one of the siblings went and took care of them and lived with them and quit their job to do so, or whatever the case may be. And yeah, it's just
all around. Don't do any of those things. That's just,
And I think something that was really interesting to me, and like, I certainly have disagreements with Doug Wilson on things, but I think one of the biggest things that stood out to me when I was first kind of listening to cross politics stuff was how Doug Wilson stopped doing conferences, or like stopped speaking at conferences for like a year or whatever, and people were like, oh, what's going on? And he was like, oh, I moved in with my dad, so that, because he was too old to take care of himself, and so I had to take, you know, step back from some of those things. And I was just remember being like, oh, wow. Okay.
That's great.
That's really like, that's not at all like the,
it's not the sort of thing you expect from a Christian celebrity, right?
Yeah.
Right. Like some person who apparently wants to like be this evil person who cashes in on all of this money he's apparently getting from all these, whatever. Like, it's like, no, he's a Christian dude who cares about his dad. Like,
And can you imagine like our Hollywood celebrities, you know, quitting acting for a while to move in with their parents that can't take care of themselves?
You know what's fun? One of the actors in my favorite sitcom Community actually did that. The Shirley Bennett, a gal who plays Shirley Bennett, is actually the black gal in Drake and Josh at the movie theater. That gal.
What?
Yvette Nicole Brown. She like literally like couldn't be in like the last seasons of Community because she was like, I have to go, you know, be with my dad in his old age.
Oh, I didn't know that that's why she wasn't in the last season.
Yeah, that's what you learn from listening to the commentary.
A true fan, right?
But it's just like that's just like, we all recognize that that's like a good thing, right? Like that is a like just righteous thing to do.
But yeah. We got very off on a tangent here, and that's mostly my fault. But
no, I think it's definitely a branch I wanted to look at.
Yeah. Well, but to that end, I mean, you know, you talk about inheritance and taking care of people. It's not always about money either.
Yeah,
the planning aspect of that is, you know, if you know your parents are getting to that age or that position, you know, and you've got a means. I mean, that's kind of one of the goals that I have is that once we find some property. I mean, we're going to build a really small house, not a tiny house, but a small house because Kathy and I don't need a big, massive house.
Yeah.
But I'm planning on building additional units that are going to be, you know, available for, you know, my dad, her dad, Kathy's dad, whatever the case may be, you know, my mom, who knows that, you know, when the time comes, it's like, okay, you know, I know. They're not going to take care of themselves and they're where they're at, you know, be prepared in advance. And so, you know, that's just another thing I think we need to think about in ways other than, I mean, it's financial in the sense that you got to prepare for it financially to be able to build, you know, but at the same time, it's just planning.
Yeah.
So.
For sure. Cool. Well, do you have any last thoughts on any of this? Anything we didn't cover? Anything that maybe you thought of earlier and then we kind of moved past it?
Your list that you kind of sent over in terms of, you know, wise stewardship of your resources and making good investment.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the bit of advice I would have is that, you know, again, it's all his. It's his money. I mean, when we're making it, I mean, you know, from a job standpoint, vocation wise, whatever, you know, I've always looked at, even when I was in the sales world, you know, get up in the morning and say, okay, God, who am I here to service or to take care of today? Because you're bringing me the customers. I'm just taking care of them.
Yeah.
And if we look at our income, the same way in terms of what I just call an open hand mindset is that, you know, he's going to fill our hands up if our hands are open. Mm-hmm. If our hands are closed because we're trying to hold on to what we got, we can't grab what he's giving us.
I mean, it's the parable of the talents right here, right? Like it's what, you know, God has given you, God has given each person a particular like amount of talents in this parable. And it didn't matter what they started with. What mattered was what they did with it. Right.
And what do you do with it?
Yeah. You know, the guy who had one talent, if he had gone out and done what the other people had done, you know, the king would have awarded him, the master would have awarded him just as much as the others. Right. But instead he was afraid and he was scared to do anything with this. And so he dug a hole, put it in the ground. Right. It doesn't matter how much you have. Yeah. It's just what you're willing to do with it. What your attitude about it is. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, that's kind of my two bits. I don't really have a lot of.
No, it's great.
Great wisdom. I mean, just a guy that's kind of been down the road a little bit further.
Yeah. Of course. No. Yeah. We definitely appreciate having you on. I think it's a good episode. I enjoyed it, but we can go ahead and call it there. And I'm not been sick anymore, so streams will continue throughout this week. So look out for those. Thanks for joining us, Mickey. Towards the end, and we'll go ahead and call it here. Thanks for watching, everybody. You can find all the links to everything at CalebEmpowers.com if you're interested in this podcast, other podcasts, whatever else is going on. Phineas, put him right in front of the camera as we end. We gotta get his cute little face. Hello, Finn. Welcome.
Is this like the
looking at my water bottle?
Classic.
Is this like the reward for people making it to the end of the episode?
Yeah, yes, they get rewarded.
We get to look at Finn's cute face. All right, this has been the Christian Artist. We're out. Thanks again for coming on, Brian. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Adios.
Appreciate it.